today and talk of some of the halakhically relevant details on Sunday, in keeping with our structure of having halakha on Sunday. We'll hopefully still do that. I can't guarantee we'll finish everything today, so we may carry over to Monday a little bit, but hopefully not much longer than that, and then we should be able to segue into Pesek Reisha, and then back into the Malachos, specifically Kotzer, which is very relevant to these sugyas specifically. Just to start off with one point, Gil asked something at the end of Shir yesterday, and I asked him to hold on to it till today, because it was an interesting thought. I'm not really sure whether or not it's relevant, but it's an interesting idea to consider. A question that comes from a completely different sugya, that we've been talking about the question of whether a accomplishment of a mitzvah is a tikkun that should be considered in terms of malacha shenitzricha legufa. That if we're looking for a tikkun in order to count it as a malacha, so does the kiyum mitzvah count? So one of the examples that's given is the question of kriya on a mace. Somebody fulfills the obligation of kriya for the purposes of mourning a mace. So is that considered to be a tikkun that is relevant to a malacha she'ein tzrich l'gufa, to make it into a tzrich l'gufa? And as Gil alluded to, there is an interesting discussion in a completely different sugya, the question of mitzvah habavi aveira. The Gemara in the Yerushalmi and Shabbos in Perek Yud Gimel Halach Aleph talks about the question of matzah gzula, that stolen matzah is considered to be unacceptable for the mitzvah of matzah. And then the Gemara talks about whether violating Shabbos should have an equivalent effect. So let's say you carry the matzah in Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, so is that going to make, the Gemara seems to suggest that that can't be something that would get in the way of fulfilling the mitzvah of matzah. And the Gemara has expression as opposed to the gzela, says Tman Gufa Aveira, that in the context of a stolen matzah, so the matzah itself is an Aveira. While in the case of Shabbos, so the person violated an Aveira, but the matzah is not necessarily contaminated in that way. And based on that, Yerushalmi, so the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that if somebody wants to tear Kriya on a stolen garment, that Kriya is no good. But if you tear his kriya on Shabbos, so that is good. Because apparently the chilul Shabbos and the mitzvah are separated from each other. Without going into the question of whether this reflects at all on our first topic, we talked about the whole question of chilul Shabbos being an act in the malacha as opposed to the effect. So without going into whether this Yerushalmi is relevant to that question, but just in terms of focusing on this specific example of kriya on Shabbos, so it's just interesting that here the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Yerushalmi, is essentially saying that an act of kriya on Shabbos, so the kiyum mitzvah of the kriya and the chilul Shabbos are two distinct entities that don't seem to affect each other in any way. And does that have any type of implication for what we were talking about yesterday, about whether the kiyum mitzvah of kriya should make it into an act of chilul Shabbos, an act of chiyuv chilul Shabbos, because it makes it into malacha tzricha legufa? It's an interesting question whether or not these two sugyas affect each other. I'll leave up to you to think about and possibly comment on. Anyone have any thoughts on that? Okay, maybe I'll give you enough time, so think about it later, and feel free to share any further thoughts you may have on that. So we had been talking about yesterday about trying to see all of these different views and reshown them, whether they come together or not, whether they share a common theme, whether they are as different from each other as they seem. And then to segue from that into discussion of, besides figuring out the different Rishonim with each other, what about the concepts that the Gemara suggests? The question of Pesek Reisha and Davar She'ein Nistaveh and Malacha She'ein Tzricha L'Gufa, and whether or not they can be easily distinguished from each other. So to get us to that point, just in terms of the shittas that we've seen so far, which we roughly segregated into a Mishkanian view that Malacha Shein Tzricha LeGufa is defined by that which is done in the Mishkan, done for the same purpose as that which was done in the Mishkan, versus a more general constructive idea that a Malacha that is constructive for the purpose that it's normally doing, whether it's its own type of constructiveness, whether it's that the territory you're operating on should be benefiting, whether it's something you want as opposed to you want to get rid of, different ways of formulating it, but all addressing the same idea, that it's essentially a malacha-based definition, a broad malacha category-based definition, rather than a specific mishkan type of basis. What practical nafkaminas would that have? Some of the things we've talked about. So, for example, the Kapos Tamarim postulates that one of the differences would be, let's say if somebody captures an animal, he uses the example of a snake, which is a little more of an exotic example for this purpose. Let's say somebody captures a snake in order to play with it as a pet. So would that be a malacha tzricha legufa? So how does that play out? So it's not a negative act. It's not like those Rishonim say that it's a malacha she'ein tzricha legufa because you want to get rid of it. You don't want to get rid of it. You want to hold on to it and play with it. Or we could agree that if a person wants to hold on to the snake because the snake is endangering people and wants to protect people, so then that's a malach shein tzricha legufa in the view of old Rishonim who say it's about getting rid of something. But if you want to play with the snake, so then presumably it's a constructive purpose. Presumably that's a malach tzricha legufa. But if you want to follow a Mishkan model, so then he assumes, he could argue on this because the question is how specific do you want to get, but he assumes that's not what the Mishkan was about. Because the Mishkan, so you wanted to capture, let's say, the tachash or the chilazon, and use the skin of the animal to make something. And here, you don't want to carve it up, you want to play with it. So Tuvi's a little skeptical because he's probably thinking, what's the difference? So I want the animal for something, so what's the difference for whether
so
I want
to... say the same thing for if you catch me to chef to eat, as opposed correct. To chef to use their skin.
So I agree. So the question is how specific do you want to get? So he is assuming, and I think it is an arguable point, that at some point it differs enough from the way the Mishkan, even when it's for itself, but it's still different enough for the reason they did something. They did this as part of a process where they were literally processing the animal, while here they're not, you're not processing it, you're playing with it, so that he thinks would be significantly different. Nussin Gestetner has a discussion of truth where he says, let's say somebody takes a child out of the house because the house is on fire. So that may also perhaps match the model. It's interesting because it works for that example where the Gemara talks about Motzias HaMeis, and we were discussing yesterday about whether the issue when Rashi says that's a malacha she'en tzricha legufa because it's about getting it somewhere else, and we were discussing as Tibi was bringing up, is that about a general theory that anything that's about getting rid of something is a malacha she'en tzricha legufa, or is it simply a hotzah based comment that hotzah is about bringing something from point A to point B because you want it in point B as opposed to point A? So here, if you take a child out of a burning building, so you are, say you are saving him, so to speak, that's a constructive purpose, but you are doing it because you want him not to be in point A instead of you want to be in point B. So maybe, perhaps, that's another area where we could see a difference between these two opinions, these two broadly drawn distinctions. It also seems to be, as a number of Svarim point out, that a general question, let's say you have something which is both a Maisa Siluk and a Maisa Tikkun. So Tosfos, if you saw Tosfos in Pesachim and Afghan Zayin and Beis, some of the guys working on this morning about Ketisha, where the Gemara talks about whether you can crumble up rocks in order to do Kisui Hadam on Yantif, and the Gemara in the context of that talks about the possibility of doing an act of Harisha, of taking out dirt from the ground so that you could do Kisui Hadam on Yantif. And in that context, so there seems to be two different views in Tosfos because the different answers that are given as to whether or not that would be called the Malach Shein Tzricha LeGufa. That here, You're, on the one hand, you're taking away dirt, which the Gemara seems, our Gemara already seems to say should be a melacha shenitzriyah l'gufa. But the assumption in the Tosfos is that this is a benefit to the dirt that you're working on. So it seems to do both. You're both taking away the dirt and accomplishing a tikkun. So is that a melacha shenitzriyah l'gufa or not? So if that's different views in the Rishonim, that may also correlate to this general question of what is melacha shenitzriyah l'gufa about? Is it about matching the Mishkan, or is it about not being negative in orientation? Hi.
How would that fall out?
Because essentially, that if you're trying to, because on the one hand, you're taking away the dirt, right? Taking away the dirt is an act of sila. Right? But on the other hand, you are, if it's an objective tikkun to the ground, so then that would be an act of chorish by itself.
Wouldn't that be mishkanian also?
So it could be both. So then the tikkun would make it a mishkanian, but taking away the dirt is sila.
So either way, it's just a question of...
Right, the question of which is the dominant element in terms of...
But it would
possible.
Be between the two...
It would draw from the two perspectives. It wouldn't necessarily line up exactly, but it would draw from the two perspectives. It's also relevant, we'll get into this more when we talk about Psik Reisha, but the Gemara that we've seen already because of Choresh, the Gemara on Daf Kuf Gimel, about how Tolesh Olshin, if somebody's taking out endives out of this field, and the Gemara talks about, is it something that you're chayav for or not? And then the Gemara says, well, it brings them Psik Reisha, and talks about Ara Dechavre. So what is the potential issue here? So is this a Psik Reisha Gemara? Is this a Melacha Shenitzriyah L'gufa Gemara? Is it some combination of both? So Tosfos raises the concern of Melacha Shenitzriyah L'gufa and says that you're potter for that reason, because you are not trying to do the Melacha of Yipoy Karka, which we correlated to Choresh. While the Ritva, if you saw it's on the list, the Ritva has a harder time with this, because the Ritva says, L'maisa, there is going to be an actual tikkun to the karka, and we have to figure out why that tikkun to the karka doesn't count, and that's his perspective. So it seems to be that Tosfos is allowing it to be a melacha shenitzriyah l'gufa because it doesn't fit the model of Choresh in the Mishkan in terms of your intent, while the Ritva is more concerned if there is a tikkun coming out of this, so then that's going to be already a melacha shenitzriyah l'gufa, and we have to figure out why exactly that tikkun doesn't count. So this gets us into a couple of other questions. As we've already reflected on a little bit, the broader question of what is the reason for the p'tur of Melacha Shenitzriyah L'gufa, which also Rashi and Tzadi Gimel focuses on that being an issue of Melachas Machshavas. Right, while Tosfos and Yuma, if you saw that big Tosfos and Yuma and Daf Lamed Daled, so Tosfos focuses on it being derived from the Mishnah. And that, again, seems to correlate, that it seems that if you believe the Mishkan is the definition, so then the Mishkan is more likely to be the source, while if you believe that it's about constructive malacha, so then Malachas Machshavas is more likely to be the source. And again, we talked about the other day about whether Malachas Machshavas, yes, itself comes from the Mishkan, but not necessarily in its specifics, rather just in the broad idea of Malachas Machshavas as a concept. The Chassam Sofer has an interesting comment. The Chassam Sofer on Daf Ayin Hey has a comment on the Gemara about the Chilazon, where he suggests that there are basically two different levels of Melacha Shenitzriyah L'gufa. So as Melacha Shenitzriyah L'gufa, we are just not interested in the result. You don't care one way or another. So that falls on a Melachas Machshavas basis. And a melacha shenitzriyah l'gufa, where you're actively not interested, we'll use the language lo nichale, so then that fails on a Mishkan basis, that the Mishkan is all things that you were trying to accomplish a specific purpose, and if you're not interested in that specific purpose, then that fails on a Mishkan basis. What difference does it make, what basis it's falling under, failing under, so not necessarily any overt difference yet, but just as far as figuring out how things get to where they get to, that may have a little bit of a role. Everyone following so far? Again, this is a highly complicated sugya, and if you find it that way, you are not alone, so please don't hesitate to speak up. I think Bill was up first.
The second option of the company so far? Does that mean they're hypocritical, that you don't want the result?
I think it means you're not interested in the result at all. It's not something that actively doesn't help you.
So what's the first?
So let's say, for example, in the case of the chilazon, right? The Gemara talks about, you may not have seen it. I don't remember if I put the Amar Makombos, you may not have seen it. The Gemara talks about about somebody who pierces the chilazon in order to get the blood out, in order to get the dye out of it. He wants the dye, D-Y-E, but he doesn't want the D-I-E. He doesn't necessarily want the animal to die. And then the Gemara says that it's actively lo nichale because he'd rather the animal stay alive because the dye will be more effective then. So that's an example of a case where it's lo nichale mamish, so then that could fail on a Mishkan standard. So in order to try to... Sorry?
I mean, what's the basis of breaking it this way?
So it works for him figuring out that sugya of daf ayin hey. For us, it doesn't have that much of an after meaning except just to highlight the fact that there could be different aspects of what makes something not qualify as a lefes chiyuv. And that will also help us give us some perspective as we see as we get now into trying to figure out the difference between psik reisha and dabar shenem skaven. So that itself is a psikration of. So that itself is an issue that has occupied many in trying to figure it out. On the one hand, we could phrase things in a broad sense where the difference is clear, but if you get more involved in discussion, there seems to be a lot of overlap. Right? So we could say, broadly speaking, that a malacha shen yitzrich l'gufa is you're doing a malacha, but you're lacking the intent for that malacha. Especially if we use a Tosfos model, while davar shenem miskaven is you're doing action A, and action A provokes action B, which is a malacha. Action A is a mitzvah heter.
Secretion.
Yeah.
Right.
Sorry, I said secretion. Sorry, davar shenem miskaven is, well, they're connected. Davar shenem miskaven is where you do action A and it brings about action B, and secretion means it will definitely bring about action B. So, very broadly speaking, that's the difference. But there's enough overlap or enough interaction to provoke the question, what is the theoretical difference or what is the halachic difference? So you may have seen the Kesef Mishnah, who talks about this, because I put that on the list. But there's a lot of discussion beyond that. Hi?
Is this basically the difference between an action and a grama?
Not exactly. Grama has a lot of relationship to this, but it has...
I mean, not necessarily in the specifics, but just as like a concept. I mean, because by Mo'enetzich Lugufa, you're doing the malacha.
Right.
But by Enos Miskabing, Sikratia is where you're doing something else which causes it.
Right, but the connection is more immediate than grama. You know, essentially, that two actions become linked because it's impossible for you to do one action without bringing about the other action.
Right.
So, therefore, your maisa heter also creates a maisa iser at the same time. And in fact, as we'll see, we get into the Tosfos about Zomer Vesarach Leitzim, that it could be that it has to be pretty much immediate.
And
grama is usually not immediate.
So, what would then, meaning, Enu Miskaving with Psychration is also a lack of.
So that's part of what we have to try to figure out. What is the difference between the two? And before we talk about the suggested differences, so as I mentioned yesterday, we have to kind of identify what is the question. Why do I think that maybe they should be the same? Or why do I think they're overlapping? Or why do I think they should interact with each other differently? Does it occur to us that it's the same? Do they have, why should one include the other? Does one automatically step on the other's territory? So I was saying that first.
Yeah, I would think so, because, for example, by Hofer, so when you dig, you are creating a hole.
Okay.
Even so, you're really in your mind taking dirt. You're not creating a hole, but Elias, you're creating a hole. So
if
when
I
you
understand
open the fridge door. Right. And the light turns on, you're really opening the fridge door, but you've also turned on the light.
Okay, so if I understand you correctly, what you're basically saying is malacha shen yitzrich l'gufa means I don't have the intent for the malacha, but the malacha is happening anyway.
Yeah.
So too, psik reisha, I don't have intent for the malacha, but the malacha is happening anyway. Maybe they have essentially enough of an overlapping definition that they should include each other. So, I think Jonathan was up first, if you want to comment on that. Okay, Yehuda?
Yeah, I was just confused with the two for a while because in one case, malacha shems for gufa. It's I'm doing malacha for a different reason, rather for psikrisha. I'm doing something that involves. I'm doing something else through malacha. So it's almost the same thing, just reversed, and it's very difficult to differentiate.
Yes, you're in very good company.
It took a while to really get.
You're in very good company if you find it difficult to differentiate.
Right.
So that's one question that maybe they should maybe they overlap and they include each other.
Is there ever a case when you've got without
Lachish Grupa,
but it's not
secretion? Well, presumably, yeah. The question is that if
you dig your hole, it's not.
Right, because there the actual
it is because
when would it be both? Well, everything, you light a fire, it's secretion then.
See, the question that...
When would it be...
I think the question that's bothering you, tell me if this is right, is that part of the issue is that it comes out that what's more chumer? That's part of what...
Yeah, that's the thing, yeah.
Right, and this is also part of the basic ambiguity. And this is why you have a very hard time answering the question. If you can't figure out... Right, if you can't figure out what the question is, you have a very hard time answering the question. Right, so if we want to know how they're different, so first we got to figure out if the metzias is that they're different, but also just halachically, are they treated differently? So it seems like it, but what's more chumer than the other?
What kinds of
new? Ah, so that itself gets into it, and that's an overlooked element, right? So why would you say that? According to Reb Shimon, what's more chumer? Right? Why? Because Reb Shimon. Rav Shimon patters malacha shein tzrichim begufa, but the Gemara says moder Rav Shimon by a psik reisha. So apparently, according to Rav Shimon, a psik reisha is a more severe situation than a malacha shein tzrichim begufa. Okay, and just to clarify, according to Rav Shimon, if I do a malacha fully, but I have intent for something else, that's not as bad as my having no intent but doing that malacha. Okay, so doing the malacha without intent is less bad than doing the malacha without intent to do the malacha is less bad than fully doing the malacha with without intent for any malacha. Yes. Sorry. Want to repeat that?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's very confusing. So essentially, if I do a malacha, knowing if I let's say I'll use a random malacha just to keep it simple. If I do bonin, knowing I'm doing bonin, but with no intent for bonin, according to Rav Shimon, that's chatur. But if I do bonin with intent to do something that's not a malach at all, and I do bonin, then I'm chayav, which is a little bit surprising. Right? One should say that malach hashem yisrichu legufa should be worse, right? Because I'm not only in both cases I'm doing the malacha. And in the case of malach shein tzrich legufa, I intend to do the malacha. I just intend to do it for a different reason.
It's kind of like, I mean, you phrase it and it'd be more powerful if you say malach shein tzrich legufa is it's more macher to do a malacha without an intent than to do a malacha with an intent that undermines the malacha.
Oh, so then the undermining is a possible explanation. But let's leave that aside so we not confuse the definitional question. So just in terms of...
Because it's not just not doing it. You're not intending...
Right, but you're explaining why. You're saying, so you're already...
I think but part of the way we define malacha shein tzrich legufa is that it's you have an intent that is not the express purpose of the malacha. So that part also fits into it.
Right, but I think by talking about undermining, that undermining is part of the answer, which in terms of trying to figure one alternative is that what the Kesef Mishnah talks, others talk about undermining. But in terms of just phrasing the question, right, just what is the question, what's more common than the other? So according to Rav Shimon, it comes out that if I do chofer, and I want to do chofer, or choresh, because the Avmalach, I do choresh, and I want to do choresh, but I want to do it for a side reason, I'm patur. If I don't want to do choresh at all, and I end up doing choresh, then I'm chayav. It's unusual. That's not what you would expect. But, in any case, it comes out that according to Rav Shimon, psik reisha seems to be more chumer. While, who might say that the chumer goes in the other way? Rav Yehuda, and possibly the Rambam. Right? Because, I'll take a question in a second, because according to Rav Yehuda, it comes out malacha shemitzrich lagufa is chayiv. Sik reisha is aser. We don't know how. Let's assume that that's aser min haTorah. But if it's lo nichale, right? So then it's knocked down a notch. According to the Aruch, it's knocked down all the notches, right? So that's an interesting direction as well. So psik reisha lo nichale, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is much less chamer than malacha shemitzrich lagufa. Might be the difference between a chiyuv Skila and Mutter. If you follow the view of the Rishonim, which is the Arab, it says Psik Rachel Nichale is Mutter. So before trying to answer the question, we're not even sure what the question is. Right? How do we separate the two conceptually? And even if we can agree on what the words mean, why should it be that one is more Chumra than the other, but it could be either one being the more Chumra one? Sorry, Sam.
Could you say that with Malach Shemesh Gufa, you have the actual Maisa Malacha, which is what makes that a problem. But with Sikrisha, you don't have the Maisa Malacha, you only have the Kima Malacha. Like, for example, the opening of the refrigerator, you're doing an action that's okay, it's just the Kima of the light is going to turn on.
Right.
So wouldn't that also... So, and then you could decide, you would say which is more Chomer, depending on which one you think is the problem of doing malacha on Shabbos.
So you want to define it that way. You want to say, if I'm understanding you correctly, so you want to say that malacha shemitzrich lagufa has the action essentially on board without your intent.
Without the intent, which lacks.
And psik reisha doesn't have the action, it just has the effect.
Right.
And so therefore we can then analyze what's more of a chumra issue, the action or the effect. Possibly, except that even when it comes to, it's difficult to say that. I mean, I hear where you're coming from, but
wouldn't that make sense though? With you said the Rambam would hold that Sikh Risha is more chumra.
So he would hold that it's less chumra because the old Malach Shemitzrich Laguf is chayiv. So it would come out the other way. But it's also, as we'll see, we'll talk about Sikh Risha next week, that many assume, and this seems to be what the Kesef Mishnah is assuming also, that the actions are totally linked. Right? That the actions, when you do a psik reisha, so then essentially action A becomes linked to action B, and that's what's going on.
But it's still like a different action, that without that kium, the action would be fine.
Correct. Without that effect. Yeah. Except if you are responsible for that action, and that action is chol Shabbos, so then...
Which is why it's us.
Right, so it essentially becomes a maisa, chol Shabbos. Okay, I know the first.
Is the effect part? The effect part of psik reisha, is that kind of like malacha shemitzrich lagufa, as Rashi understands it? That it's, doesn't it completely lack malacha shemitzrich lagufa? The effect part.
Does it in the case of psik reisha?
Yeah.
So apparently, as we'll see, let's look at the Kesef Mishnah together. That essentially, what he says is that your intent to do action A becomes more of an intent action than malach shemitzrich lagufa, where you are lacking the fundamental intent for the malach. So let's look together at what the Kesef Mishnah says.
Okay.
Yes, sir?
Just with this understanding in Rabbi Yehuda, wouldn't that put Kavana on a much higher pedestal than we thought before?
For the Rambam?
Yeah.
Because
he holds that malach shemitzrich lagufa is... Right, and psik reisha is less, meaning that is the lack of kavana really knocks down a lot. The fact that it's psik reisha is meaningless, though it's still don't shame the scab into psik reisha.
Right, so you're raising an interesting point, and we'll get into this more in the psik reisha discussion, but we have to then distinguish between different usages of the word kavana, right? Because you mean intent to do something, as opposed to reason for doing something. Right, Malach Shemitzrich Laguf is focused on why you're doing it,
right.
While Davar Shein HaMiskaven is focused on the fact that you don't intend to be doing it at all.
Right.
You intend to be doing something else, and that provokes this. So then the question is, the Rambam maybe is willing to acknowledge that a Davar Shein HaMiskaven is significant, the fact you don't intend to do it at all, while he's not willing to acknowledge that you're doing it for a different reason is significant. And that's also going to reflect the fact also, as we'll see next week, you haven't seen the cards yet that address this, but the fact is that Psikresha, Davrshena Miskaven, is not necessarily exclusively a Shabbos concept. Our Davrshena Miskaven is a Kol Torah Kula concept, while Melacha Shein Shvicha Legufa is a Shabbos concept. So the issue of somebody not being fully liable for something he's not trying to do may not necessarily have anything to do with Melachas Machshavas. I could just have to do with basic rules of liability. But if I'm not trying to do an action, if I'm trying to do in any area of halacha, I'm trying to do action A, and I undesirably bring about action B, that may be a lack of liability. While when it comes to Melachas Shnitzricha Legufa, that is a Shabbos concept. That itself already is a very big difference between the two. And it may mean, you could then come say, well, there doesn't have to be much of a practical difference. They just come from two different overlapping areas. That when you're dealing with Shabbos, so you're dealing with Torah and Shabbos, so they have interlocking, overlapping reasons why there's going to be a tour if the action is lacking full intent. So let's look at what the Kesef Mishnah says. So the Kesef Mishnah says, this is in Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin, the second paragraph. It says, "A hefresh sheyesh bein malachas shenitzricha legufo bein psikreisha v'lo yamus." Who? The difference is, the gabei psikreisha eino mechavein lemalacha kol ikker, ela shehi nazeis behefer. That the person is not intending to do any malacha, just it happens against your will. Kegon misha sagar pesach beiso v'hayosham tzvi. Like somebody closed the door of his house, and some guy named Tzvi, a deer happens to be in his house, Shehu lo kivein l'shmiras ha-tzvi, that he doesn't have any intent to protect the Tzvi, to be tzad the deer. Elo sha malacha nasays behefer, but the malacha happens automatically. Ava malacha shein tzricha legufa, hu miskavein leguf ha malacha, elo sheino mechavein letach lisa. That he intends to do the malacha itself, but he doesn't intend for its purpose. This is the Rabbi Avraham, the son of the Rambam. So many of the later Svarim, such as the Kapos Tmarim and the Merkava Sanishna, we'll talk about in a minute, are a little bit confused by this Kesef Mishnah, because they initially say that it comes out from the Kesef Mishnah that Malacha Shein Tzrichu L'Gufa has a more Chamer D'Svara to it. You have some degree of intent, as opposed to psik resha, where you have no intent. By the way, in terms of definitions, he basically just gave a definition that's consistent with the basic definition we gave before. The question is, what does he mean to say by bringing that up? When you posit the definition like this, everything he says is pretty straightforward in terms of the common definition of Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa, the common definition of Davar Shein Miskaven. This seems like a very straightforward comment of the Kesef Mishnah. The question is, what is he getting at by telling us this? So bringing this up seems to say that Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa should be more chamer.
Isn't it quite
enough? So very good. So that's something that seems to be lost, and a lot of those are raised the question. We'll say that why is he saying this? Because since Rav Shimon potters from Malach Shein Tzricha Legufa and is Machayev for Psik Reisha, so it should go in the opposite direction. So Tovia points out very well, but a lot of the Sfarim don't focus on this, that presumably the Kesef Mishnah is commenting on the Rambam. Especially because he's A, commenting on the Rambam, and B, quoting the Rambam's son. And so presumably he's working within the Rambam Shita, that the Rambam would come out that Malacha Shein Tzrich Legufa is more chamer, because it's chayiv, and Psik Reisha, Dolonichale, at least, is on a significantly lower level. The difference being, because in Malacha Shein Tzrich Legufa you have intent to do the Malacha, and in the case of Psik Reisha, you don't have intent to do the Malacha at all. So, if you want to say it the other way, if you want to say that Psik Reisha should be more Chamer, so then what's the Kesef Mishnah saying? How could you make the Kesef Mishnah work with this? So, it seems to be what you have to say is that, and this is the way, for example, the Kajig Lava Rav says it in his Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi, that we've mentioned him before. You can find this picture on 5A in the library, on the wall, just come out of the elevator. So he says that the idea is that it works like follows. That since the psik reisha, the action A and action B become joined, so now it's all one action. And you intended to do this action. And you intended it for a constructive purpose. Right? Remember that The Rambam probably aligns himself with the non-Tosfos view that a melacha she'atzricha l'gufa is not defined by Mishkan as much as it's being constructed. So what happens? I have one big ma'isa, because A and B combine. I'm doing it for an intentional, active purpose. So maybe that's worse than a normal melacha, which I'm doing for a negative purpose. So in theory, you can make this cast of Mishnah work for either direction. If you want to make melacha she'atzricha l'gufa more chayiv, so then that's the pashtus of the words. And that happens to work out well because it's probably trying to explain the Rambam. If you want to make him fit Reb Shimon, you could do that also because you could have him say that Psik Reisha is worse because Psik Reisha, it all becomes one Maisa, and now it's one constructive action, which is a Malacha, and it's constructive, and you did it on purpose. Everyone follow that before I take the questions? Does that make sense? Okay, Gil.
So, for the last thing you said, mm-hmm. Why wouldn't that also apply to Malacha, Shana, Tzirkul, and Gufa, in that you were mechaving to do an action that's the same time when you're doing the other action? The same thing we said about Psik Reisha, how the action is combined, and you were mechaving to do one of them, why isn't that applied to Malacha?
Right, so then you have to then define it a little further, how the fact that the goal that you're getting at, because when it comes to Malacha, Tzirkul, and Gufa, that he's saying that case, so it could be all your intents is all negative, you're trying to get rid of something, let's say. So,
if it is constructive,
then it may not even be a melacha she'atzricha l'gufa in the first place.
So it's only going according to the one that it's sealed.
Well, that's the Rambam seems to align himself with that, right? So if you're dealing with what I guess adds up to Rov Rishonim, even Halach L'Maisa we'll talk about on Sunday, but even it certainly does seem to be Rov Rishonim, so then that would seem to make sense. Hi.
To suggest with the Kesef Mishnah,
yeah.
Essentially what we're saying is the two melachos, that the two actions in the Dorshe Miskavin, which have Sikresha, we combine the two.
Combine
that.
One big.
The Kavana that you have is really carried over. The Kesmish are very clearly said that you have no Kavana Koiker.
Right, Kavana for the second action. So I agree, we've already maintained the position that probably it's more likely Kesmish is going the other direction because of his location and his job here. But if you want to make it fit the other way, then you have to, it's a little bit more of a forced reading for a couple of reasons. We have to say, no kavana kol liquor for the second. And the reason he's emphasizing, it's not so far-fetched, because the reason he's emphasizing is that he has to clarify the difference. So in terms of the malacha, you have no intent at all. And in terms of malacha and shirich l'gufa, you have intent to do it for a different reason. So he says kol liquor to emphasize how they're different.
And once you're suggesting mm-hmm. that this is all for the opposite side, mm-hmm. the side that perhaps more of a Mishkanian view,
oh, so then that's something that kind of smart gets into.
Then I was going to say, Bali Tosfos would say already that Sigrisha, that Hashem Iskavin for Sigrisha is chayiv, not because we combine the two deot, two actions to have, you know, transitive kavana. Mm-hmm. But because once you do something that you know is going to happen, it's as if you had kavana for that because you know it's going to happen.
Right, so that does correlate, and we'll get into that more when we get into the Sigrisha issue. There is something I very much want to share with you before we run out of time. So this whole issue, again, those who don't focus on the Kesef Mishnah trying to deal with the Rambam and assume he's dealing with a more common view outside of the Rambam, having a lower rung than Psik Reisha. So we mentioned the Kabbalist Marm talks about it. And in addition, the Mekeves HaMishnah talks about it. The Mekeves HaMishnah is fascinating in general. It's worth looking at. So it's available on HebrewBooks.org, so you can feel free to download a whole set for yourself and keep it on your hard drive. Mekeves HaMishnah is fascinating in general. Mekeves HaMishnah was written by Rav Shlomo of Chelm. And as you may not be aware, there is a serious Chelm, so Chelm gets made fun of a lot of the stories. And in real life, it really was a Chelm that had many real Talmidei Chachamim, including Rav Shlomo of Chelm, who was the Rav of Chelm. And Chelm was in Poland. Both Chelm and Poland get made fun of a lot, but had very smart people in them. And among them, the Mekeves HaMishnah is certainly very high on that list. Mekeves HaMishnah was a big gong, both in Torah and in Mada, had a lot of education. And he wrote a very important sefer on the Rambam. Nowadays, it's available on HebrewBooks.org, which is a tremendous thing, because I think, if I remember correctly, Rabbi Zalman Meltzer in the Hakdama to one of his volumes of Ibn Ezel says that as he was going to print, he realized that some of the things he was saying, you can find these ideas also in the Mekeves HaMishnah and the Aras HaMeach, He said, but he decided to print them anyway because, first of all, he still came up with one of his own, so he's Zohar to publish them. And he says that, if I remember correctly, he says not everyone has an Or Sameach, and he doesn't think almost anybody has a Merkava Samishna. So nowadays, if you have an internet connection, you can have Merkava Samishna anywhere, so it's a tremendous bracha that Rav Zalman also writes that people in his day didn't have. So Merkava Samishna in the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, in Perek Aleph, the very beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, so he says, before I start talking about anything, we've got to work out this whole Pesik Reisha, Melacha Shein Hitzrich L'Gufa issue. Everything is just too confusing, so we're going to try to figure that out. So he goes on for a very long time, and it's all one paragraph, unless they come out with a fancier edition. It's about 12 pages long paragraph, where he goes through everything. And among the things that bother him is just trying to figure out exactly why one should be more chamer than the other and how exactly they interact. So he then decides to go through the Shittas Rishonim and what a Melacha Shein Hitzrich L'Gufa is. Most of the first part is talking about Pesik Reisha, so if anybody wants to read this, again, available online, you should read it maybe, it's very, very long, but it's helpful for these discussions. He basically understands, he sees it as four Shittas in Rishonim as to what a Melacha Shein Hitzrich L'Gufa is. And you could argue with this, but he basically says that the four shittas are Rashi, Tosfos, the Baal HaMor, which he sees as the third shita, and the Ravana Rambam. Well, we just read the Kesef Mishnah quotes of Ravana Rambam, so we didn't even notice it when we read it because it seems like he's just restating what others said. But the Rekav Mishnah says, what does it mean with Tachlisa? How are we defining Tachlisa? So if we're going to say the Mishkan, so then that's, he doesn't say that. And if we're going to say that constructive doesn't mean tachlisa, that's not the same thing as what Rashi is saying. So what's the Raman around I'm saying tachlisa? He says that is a fourth view. Essentially, he segregates the views into four different views in the Rishon. So then, after going through all that, so he says the following, which I can't resist sharing with you. Just his language is very poetic in general. So he doesn't just say something, he gives a very eloquent introduction whenever he says something. So after he goes through for many, many pages some of these issues and for the different views in Rishonim, so those who have been attracted to puns in these sugyas throughout will appreciate the following lines. I have to feel I have to share it. So he says, after going through the shita, he says, Amarti levoyer lavin hadavar kesi hasvara yashara. Now I want to clarify everything and to make everything explicit, thanks to the straight svara that I have from Shemayim. That it'll then become clear that all of these views, which seem to be so separate and so far from each other, you'll see that they will all join into one thing. And they are all given from one shepherd. That's an expression the Gemara has in Chagiga, right? That when we have a hard time, the beginning of Chagiga, the Gemara says if somebody finds it very difficult to learn Torah, because specifically in Melacha Shein Hitzrich L'Gufa, finds it very difficult to learn, he says everything seems to contradict so many different opinions, this one Mutter, this one Asher, this one Tan, this one Tar, don't get depressed, says the Gemara, they're all given from one row, they're all given from one shepherd. So he uses that expression here also, they were all given from one source. Shaholchin v'sov v'makifim v'tolcha agula. That they're going around, but they haven't yet got to the center of the truth. It's a fascinating way of expressing himself. So all coming all together, I see what's going on here. And I will now clarify, explain all of these parts. Hasoser amanas livnos bin komo. Binyan mitukan umalacha shitzricha laguf havana se'inyan malacha shitzricha laguf. So again, all of the punsters should appreciate what he's saying here, that he's going to knock down everything in order to rebuild it, soyser amanas livnos, and that is a malacha shitzricha laguf. So what does he want to say? So with that whole introduction, so you may or may not be a little disappointed in where he takes it, so does he really bring them all together in one glorious structure? Maybe, maybe not. What he essentially says is that he thinks they're all asking the same question. They have different ways of expressing how that question is asked. Says, but basically, it's all the same thing. That what is the issue of Melacha Shein Hitzrich L'Gufa? Says the issue is when somebody would ask you, "Why are you doing X?" Would you say, I'm doing X because I want to do X? Or would you say, I'm doing X because I want to do Y? And here he quotes the philosophers, he quotes the Chachmei HaMechkar, and he talks about the concept of Kavana Shmia, which I think he's talking about Aristotle and his metaphysics, the concept of secondary intent, where the idea is expressed that a primary intent is you're doing something because you want to do it. Well, a secondary intent is you're doing something because you want to do something else. So that's what all of Melachah and Shvichah L'Gufa is about. And he gives an example, kind of a funny example. He says, let's say somebody wants to dye his clothes red. He has green clothes, and he wants to dye them red. So why are you doing that? He says, if you want to dye them red, because you want them to be red, so then that would be a primary intent. That would be a malacha hatzricha legufa. I don't think he's focusing on the fact that today is a malacha. So in terms of when anyone does something, why is he doing it? So if you're doing it because you want your clothes to be red, that's a primary intent. If you're doing it because you want your clothes not to be green, so then that would be a secondary intent. So he basically says that's what Melachah Shnitzricha L'Gufa is. And all the other Rishonim are all details of that. Everybody who, whether you say it's the Mishkan, whether you say it's constructive, whatever it is, it's all about this question. It's all about when I do Harisha, am I doing Harisha because I want to do Harisha? Or I'm doing Harisha because I need the dirt and I can only get it through Harisha. So that's essentially his approach here. Then he goes on to say, so what's really the difference? And towards the end he says, so what's really the difference between Psik Reisha and Melachah Shnitzricha L'Gufa? And if you read it, you see that after that he gets into a few other things. What's the difference between Mesasek and Mekalkel and a few other things? He then throws in towards the end and, with less of an introduction. But he says that essentially they don't exist in the same arena. They're not dealing with the same territory. That a malacha, let's say you would have a malacha which has an objective overwhelming tikkun. So he assumes that that's going to be chayiv according to everybody. And that malacha shenitzricha l'gufa comes in the more ambiguous areas where something could either be a tikkun or either be for some other purpose. And therefore he says, what's a psik reisha? Especially in the understanding of you need a psik reisha the nichale, says that only applies in the cases where the malacha is an independent tikkun, an inherent tikkun. So when something is so clear that it, and he gets into the whole sugya of Kuf Gimel about what the Sa'arat Chavre significance is, maybe we'll revisit a little bit some of the details about that. But he says essentially psik reisha applies when the action itself is so clearly a tikkun that you have to be chayav for regardless of what your intent is.
Why
is
it here?
Sorry?
The Irvin case.
Right, the case of the...
Why isn't that the two obviously...
You're talking about where you're digging for the air?
For the air.
Right, so why, how's that necessarily so obviously a tikkun?
Because you clearly want to... action is clearly...
Yeah, so I don't think it, I don't think it's focusing on your desire for the air, but he's saying that there's certain actions, like if you hear the digging around to pick up the lost air, it's not necessarily going to be an obvious tikkun.
But they're straining the ground. That's clearly a tikkun any farmer would want.
Is that always the case? It depends where. It depends how.
Presumably it's in the field.
Right, is that always an objective tikkun? I don't know, I'm not sure. I mean, like I said, part of the difficulty is getting everything to always fit. But just before we run out of time, just to say what exactly his position is. So essentially, if I were to quote one line, but you know, you're not going to understand the one line without all the background, but it basically says that lo mishkachas leipzig reisha dechayiv b'malacha shehen l'famim tikkun l'famim kilkul. You're not going to find the concept of psik reisha by something which could go either way. Daha kol davar she'ena miskavein havalei malacha she'ena tzricha klal lelei tzarech klal. That the fact that it's davar she'ena miskavein itself means that it's something that you're not doing tzarech in lo malachas tikkun mamish, unless it's a situation of an absolute tikkun. U'muchach nami miyos b'tikkun gomer chayev afilu be'eno tzarech lo klal. And that's what we see also, that if it have a tikkun gomer, so then, even if you don't need it at all, you're chayiv. Because otherwise, you wouldn't have a concept of psikreisha being chayim. V'zeh mukhrach af le Rabbi Yehuda, the psikreisha d'havar le davar shein miskavein mikri malacha shein etzarech klal the mode bari the pot. V'havein zeh, and therefore you should understand the l'mashkachas psikreisha. This is the key line: l'mashkachas psikreisha ela b'malachas tikun, that you will only have psikreisha in a case where it's an objective, clear benefit. V'lo mishkachas malacha shein etzarech lagufa ela b'malacha d'lav tikun. And you only have the potential of being a malach shein tzrich lagufa if it doesn't have an objective tikkun. So essentially his point is that they don't coexist in the same cases. That if the malacha is inherently, objectively a tikkun, it's going to be a psik reisha, and then by definition it's not the malach shein tzrich lagufa. Yes, sir?
The Magen Mishnah say something very similar?
The Magen Mishnah talking about the Ketisha Tosas? That Magen Mishnah?
No, in the... When he says they're kovel to someone, so he makes a distinction between if something's objectively, along with the kavana, if something has no element of kilpul to it, then it's automatically biyasa. But if it has an element of kilpul, then it could be davar shen, lokshen, lagufa.
Yeah, I hear it's consistent. It's a, you know, it's a part of the puzzle. I think I don't know if it necessarily has all the elements of what he's saying, but it's definitely a part of the structure. And so essentially, what's the difference according to him? That they deal with different scenarios. That psik reisha only applies in a case which by definition is not a malacha shein tzrich lagufa. Because the malacha itself doesn't have all of the same parts to it. Hi. All the same effect, I should say.
I mean, mutsas and mis for in the house to remove tuma is definitely tikkun.
Yeah. There's going to be a subjectivity in terms of how to define it then. You know, saying in terms of, especially if you say like those who showed him that essentially it's not a tikkun because it's negative. Right, so then.
No, I don't think they're denying that it's tikkun. They're just saying that that's not called a malacha because it's negative.
Right, but that malacha, that negativity goes into part of the definition of what's a tikkun. Clearly, the word tikkun is a subjective term in terms of what's included and what's not. Right, so you say, sometimes when it's got a objective quality of tikkun, it's going to have to include everything. It's going to have to be the most sweeping picture of tikkun. So here, this, according to most of the Rishonim, is an option to be goofy by itself. Because it's not getting rid of something, so it's not the broadest objective tikkun. So again, all of that is somewhat confusing. So was that more or less clear? Was that as clear as it could be, considering the confusingness of the material? Anyone have any questions?
Give an example
of an absolute tikkun.
Yeah,
it's hard to know what the perfect example, because that's part of the. Usually, when you give an example, things get clear. In the case of malacha shein tzrich lagufa, when you give an example, you'll trip over a machlokas somewhere, and the things will get less clear. Right? So that's why it's dangerous to try to come up with an example, because the chances are whatever example you have, well, you'll have to then explain based on why a Rishon says something else. So I'm going to stay away from giving an example right now. To speak in abstract, he says that if the malacha itself has this clear benefit, then that's psik reisha d'nichalei. And if it doesn't, so then it's going to be more subject to your intent, and it could potentially be a malach shein
tzrich lagufa. Why would someone do it in the first place?
Sorry?
There's no tikkun. Why would someone do it in the first place? Why would it?
What are we talking about? The psik reisha? Well, because if we define a negative tikkun as not a tikkun, maybe he's doing it for a negative reason. He's trying to get rid of a problem, something like that. Okay, so that is in terms of that. So the Kapos Tamarim, separate from this discussion, the Kapos Tamarim feels that the Kesef Mishnah's whole distinction, going back to the Kesef Mishnah, that makes more sense if one is following, let's say, a Rashi view. Right? If one is following a view that what makes so Melacha Shein Tzrich LaGufa is essentially negative, while a Psik Reisha, you make it positive because you want to do action A, so now you make it positive by wanting to do whatever you're doing. But how does the Mishkan fit into that whole story? It doesn't seem to, your desire to actively do something doesn't seem to actively do action A, doesn't seem to provoke any more of a Mishkan connection.
Has post-tomorrow understanding more of a...
Says that if the idea, what's the chap of psik reisha over malachah shenis yichud legufa. Right, achat is that the psik reisha, you want to do something. You want to do something, perhaps something constructive. It's not necessarily a malacha, but it combines with a malacha.
He's reading Kesemish saying that psik reisha is
right, that's the thing. There is, right, that's what he said. That most are assuming that Reb Shimon is his vantage point.
Right, so assuming that.
Right, so assuming that, so he says, okay, so then fine, I can hear it according to Rashi, because you're trying to do something constructive. So your constructive intent now characterizes this malacha, so it becomes better than a malacha shenis yichud legufa. Malacha shenis yichud legufa, all you have is negative intent. And now here you have a malacha and you have some kind of positive intent, which takes over. While when it comes to malacha shenis yichud legufa, so you have a malacha, but you don't have any positive intent, so maybe that doesn't help. So then that could explain why psik reisha is more chamer. But, so I'll take a question in a second, but how does that have any significance in terms of the Mishkan component? If the whole idea of malacha shenis yichud legufa is that it's not about negative, but it's about losing a Mishkan connection, so then psik reisha doesn't seem to correlate at all. So then he throws in that you have to say, according to Tosfos, that it means psik reisha, when we say nichale, it means nichale specifically the accomplishment that is comparable to the Mishkan. So whatever the Mishkan malacha is, so then you're happy about that part happening, so then not that you're happy that the malacha takes place, but you're happy that the malacha matches the Mishkan, so that's how it then comes into the equation. Sammy, I'm sorry?
I don't understand that. Why couldn't you just say the bottom more?
Right, has the Balamor going to have? So,
because the Balamor says that the whole.
Well, right, the Balamor, even if you said Balamor, he says that Rashi and presumably others will work out well. He's saying in terms of Tosfos focusing on the Mishkan.
No, even according to Tosfos, you would have. Yeah. Not only would you have the fact that the type of. Again, combining Rashi and Tosfos again. Tosfos,
right, so if we assume.
Mishkan has this also, the fact that all of the Malachos were. Positively intent oriented.
Right, but as we mentioned yesterday, that Tosfos isn't assuming you can combine Rashi and Tosfos. Right, Tosfos considers themselves in a fight with Rashi. So even though we were discussing yesterday a way in which they could be harmonized, but Tosfos' position is not that they're harmonized. So he's saying, according to Tosfos' position, so how does he address this? That's what he has to.
You say that again.
But he's saying that according, if the issue is, we're trying to figure out how. Psik reisha is more chamer than malacha shenis yichud legufa. So we could say, okay, because look, malacha shenis yichud legufa, you have a malacha and you only have negative intent. With psik reisha, you have a malacha and you have positive intent. And the positive intent grafts itself onto the malacha, so you have a malacha and you have positive intent. So psik reisha is worse. So that's all very good, well and good if we're interested in negative intent versus positive intent. But if we're interested in Tosfos isn't talking about negative intent becoming positive. He's talking about matching the Mishkan. So if you didn't match the Mishkan, how is psik reisha necessarily any more of a match to the Mishkan than malacha shenis yichud legufa was? Unless you say, it's what the Kapos Tamarim throws in, that psik reisha presumes, when we say nichale, that you are triggering the function that the Mishkan also was accomplishing. Hi.
Instead of viewing the instead of viewing psikresha as being this transitive property of kavana, mm-hmm. It could be, I think Malachos would say this themselves, that psikresha means that you had kavana, because you know it's going to happen, you have kavana for the part, the actual malacha also. Mm-hmm. Not just that the kavana you have for this is the kavana you have for that. So it's much easier than to say that the kavana maps onto the part of the malacha that is mishkanin and sense, as opposed to saying that all of a sudden, all the kavana, because you know it's going to happen, it's as if a Dovashim Skavin that's secretial, it's considered a Dovashim Skavin.
Except that throwing in the Nichale part pushes it more in that direction. I think it's consistent, but once you say also Nichale, if you didn't need Nichale, then that would be enough, right? Okay, so you don't need Nichale, but the fact that you knew it was going to happen, you brought it about, so you're tired. But once we say Nichale, what does that have to do with anything?
Doesn't Malachos hold that Dovashim Skavin, a psik reisha, is a problematic in and of itself?
But Nichale is clearly a component of Malachos talks about. I mean, we can't question what is the significance of it. Or maybe question whether it's a positive element or a negative element in terms of are we interested in Nichale or not low Nichale.
Maybe low Nichale is just tracking with knowledge. So
possibly. So we'll get into that more when we talk about segregation. But in theory, there is I think they're consistent theories. Before we run out of time, just want to mention, I was alluded to before, so then there was a whole other approach in this case of Mishnah, which a lot of Acharonim take, and which Tzvi was alluded to before, and I cut him off, told him to wait, that you could say that Malach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa is, in a sense, worse than, or less chayav, I should say, you're less chayav than Psik Resha, because intending to do the Malacha, right, the whole question is, why is it less of a Malacha if you intend to do it for a different reason than if you don't intend to do it at all? Doesn't seem to be intuitive. And if I intend to do the Malacha, in case of Lachshin Shvich L'Gufa, I know I'm doing the Malacha, you would think that should be worse than a Psik Resha where I don't even intend to do the Malacha in the first place. A separate from the Tikkun consideration. Right. Just the idea, if we look at it just that way, if we say that, okay, Lachshin Shvich L'Gufa, I don't intend to do anything, I'm sorry, I intend to do the Malacha, but not for the purpose, that seems to be much closer to a Malacha than a Psik Resha where I don't even intend to do it in the first place. So there is an approach the Machatz HaShekel talks about, the Aruch HaShulchan, the Shvi'is HaShabbos talk about, that it's not necessarily a straight line in that direction. You're assuming that wrong intention is more than no intention. Maybe not. Maybe no intention is a blank slate. You can write anything you want onto it. While wrong intention, that undermines the act. And this is something you find all over halacha. For example, when it comes to mitzvah srichas kavanah, and some draw this comparison. So there are those rishonim who maintain that mitzvahs don't need kavanah. I can perform a mitzvah without any intent for that mitzvah and be yotzei. But if I have negative kavanah, which could either mean I don't want to fulfill a mitzvah or I want to do something different other than a mitzvah, then the mitzvah gets knocked out. Or you find this in Hilchos Brachos, for example, this again, Brachos in Daf Yud Beis, which we're showing you in that context also, that it's one thing to not know what bracha you want to make, it's another thing to know you're thinking of a different bracha. So it could be that maybe in Echanami, that Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is less of a Malacha than a Psik Resha, even though your intent is more, because the fact that I intend to do something other than the Malacha negates the Malacha. While in Psik Resha, I have a blank slate, because I brought about the Malacha with no intent. And therefore, the intent of the Malacha can come in and attach itself. So that's the Mahalach as well. That's also an approach that you find within the Kesef Mishnah. But again, it all assumes the Kesef Mishnah is asking maybe a different question than he actually is asking. Okay, so that is very confusing. I'll try in the few minutes we have to just quickly recap some of it. But I get a sense people are following more or less. I know this is tricky stuff. So again, on Sunday, I'll just focus on some of the Halach L'maisa things. And then on Monday, we'll finish off. For example, one major thing we didn't talk about at all is Tolda, Shein Shvicha L'Gufa. So that we'll talk about on Monday. And tomorrow, Parsha, Sunday. So basically, what we addressed today, we talked about some nafkaminas, possibly the two understandings, like the Kapha Samarim about catching the snake to play with, and Nasan Geshtetter's Tshuva about taking a child out of a burning building. Possible differences between the two understandings. And that got us to the whole question of how do we define Psik Resha versus Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. And we notice that on a very basic level, so a Psik Resha means you do action A, which is a heter, but it brings about Malacha B. While Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, you're intending to do the Malacha, but you're intending to do it for a different reason. And then to figure out what is the difference between the two, and why is one more chamer than the other, so we try to direct attention, which is often not there, to the question of which one is the more chamer one, which one are you asking the direction from. So if you want to follow Reb Shimon's view, you're assuming that Psik Resha is more chamer, and if you're following Reb Yehuda's view and the Rambam's view, you're assuming Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is more chamer. So within that context, we saw the Kesef Mishnah's explanation, who basically restates what we said a minute ago. But that explanation seems to put more chumra on Malach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa, so we discussed different approaches as to why that is. Maybe because it is more chumra, the Rambam view, or maybe no, it doesn't necessarily mean it's more chumra that Psik Resha takes on the intent of the second action, And that gives it greater chumrah, however you explain why that is. And then we also got into the Mekevus HaMishnah, discussing that all the different views of Rishonim, he says, are all asking the same question. They all want to know, when I do Harisha, and you ask me, what am I doing? Well, I say, I'm doing Harisha because I want to do Harisha, or I'm doing Harisha because I want something else, what he calls primary intent or secondary intent. And then, working off that definition, he suggests that Lafashi Yisrif Lugufa and Sikresha don't address the same territory. That if something is an objective tikkun, so then that gets counted memela, and that's what a psikresha b'michale is. And the Malachashen Shrich Lagufa only comes in a more ambiguous territory, and therefore they, by definition, don't address the same types of situations, and that's essentially the difference, and also what the Kesef Mishnah is getting at. We discussed this other approach about undermining, and how that could also work within the Kesef Mishnah's idea. Okay, so tomorrow Noach, Sunday Halacha of Malachashen Shrich Lagufa, Monday, the rest of the Sugya, and February, Pipsigration. Have a fantastic day.